Hey guys, welcome to the latest episode of the SaaS Sessions podcast. Today we have Vikshit Rai on the show with us. Vikshit is the co-founder and COO at Finly. Finly simplifies accounts payable for businesses. So hey Vikshit, such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey Sunil, thanks for having me on the call.
Yeah. So, Vikshit, like I gave a very short, intro, one line about you and Finly, but, we'll talk about Finly over the rest of the episode, but can you tell us more about yourself, your journey into SaaS and, what have you been doing before Finly?
Yeah, sure. So before this, my co-founder, the current co-founder whom I'm working with, his name is Vivek as such. So Vivek and I had co-founded many months before this. This was around 2012. And this was completely in autopilot mode. And while we worked in corporates and startups for around 3.5 years. So Mintcoins was a platform wherein, it was crowdsourcing for testing mobile applications. At its peak, it had over 5 million users as such. So 3.5 years, we worked along with Mintcoins and we worked with a couple of MNCs and startups through the whole process. And then 2015 is when we our job. And during this entire span, what we saw is there were multiple competitors who came from Mintcoins. And most of them raised VC funds and we saw our revenue dwindling down, right? So that experience actually made us rethink of how we are going to look at the business again when we're going to start off in the future.
Got it. And that's really interesting. And when we're talking about Finly, right, a few days back, you mentioned that you were working on a lot of ideas before while you wanted to start Finly, right? And a couple of them that you pitched to the investors before you went to the customers, right? And you saw that, there's a real positive and a real good response from the investors about this one idea, which is Finly, right? So curious to know what were the other ideas and why did you choose this path of, having multiple ideas for products and instead of building an MVP and going to the customers, you maybe built an MVP and went to the investors, right? So why this approach?
Sure. So we had a couple of theses before we wanted to startup as such. So one of them being SaaS. So you're aware of the milk companies, what they call Micromax, Intex, Lava and Carbon. You're aware of these Indian branded companies that were there for mobile phones. Mm-hmm. So what China did is they came to India and they sold the same phones for a lower price because these companies were going to China and buying the hardware and then coming back to India and selling it, right? And China realized why do we need to do this? Why can't we go ahead to the Indian market and market it ourselves and sell it at a lower price and get a functionality as such? And that's where the Xiaomi, Vivo, Oppo and all these companies came up. So what China did with hardware, we did see a potential with software, right? We have a lot of engineers out here. These engineers, one of the main reasons we have so many engineers is because of the Infosys and TCS and all the service-based companies that has been in the market for the past 25, 30 years, right? The kind of infrastructure that China has for hardware, that's the kind of infrastructure that we have for software as such, right? So we always saw this the Indian landscape from this angle, Vivek and myself, right? And very sure about the fact that we wanted to start a software business which can go global at the end of the day, or a Google will coming out of India with the kind of products that are out there, right? So one thing which we were clear of was going in the path of SaaS. So is one of thing that we saw, and then we dabbled with a bunch of companies, a bunch of ideas, like you said. One was SaaS for malls and large retail stores to manage their operations. Mm-hmm. One was SaaS for focus groups. So we've seen before you take a consumer good over to the market, you have focus groups as such, and there's software to gather all this information and show the results to the management team as such.
Got it.
Then there was SaaS for real estate companies. And then there was SaaS for finance teams. So a bunch of SaaS, one thing which was clear is we wanted to solve the problem that was in hand using technology and SaaS. We came up with these five different ideas as such. And what we kept moving towards is the SaaS for the finance team. We were trying to understand what was happening there. Because if you're looking at the HR department, the IT department, the sales department in any company, right? Their SaaS adoption has gone to a very large extent. But the finance department, there's not much of a progress. So one thing we were clear about is building a painkiller, right? So we spoke to investors as well as around 30 to 40 odd CFOs and finance people before building the product. So we created the pitch decks, we sent it to finance teams, we sent it to the CFOs, and we got a positive response saying that, hey, show me the product. I'd like to go ahead. I'd like to see, I would like to implement this in my company. I would like to, invest in you guys if once I see the product, right? Like that kind of traction is interest is what we saw. And only then we started, going out and building out the product as such. So this is something that we tried out before we went ahead and built the product.
Interesting. And if you can share what sort of responses you got from the investors about Finley, like particularly, like what kind of like, piqued their interest, or what was something in Finley that they saw and they got excited, right?
Sure. So, in fact, the conversations that we constantly had with the investors led to the maturity of the idea of what we had to build itself, right? And the initial idea that we went with was a SaaS product for the finance space. And this was divided into multiple parts: accounts receivables, accounts payables. In accounts payables, there's expense management system. So, multiple different products, we had broken it down. So as we kept talking to investors, the investors kept saying that, okay, I've invested in a bunch of these companies. And when they spoke to the founders, they understood managing the expenses is a problem, or they're doing it using spreadsheets and email. And the idea from investor side is they don't want to replace a product which is already working in a company. They want to see what is on spreadsheets or email, and then they want to introduce a product which can replace this, right? So that's more easy from the sales angle as such. So from the investors' point of view, that became very clear that expense management at that point in time, if you're looking at it, mostly was done using spreadsheets and email. And there were APIs from the banks were opened up at that point in time. That was in 2016. Banks were opening up their APIs, and that's where a prepaid card solution and various other instruments were coming into the market to automate the whole process of expense management. So the whole process of talking to investors led us to, a relationship that we built with Ebix at that point of time. And led us to our first, investment as well, and entry into the market as such.
Got it. Interesting. I mean, this is a very different approach, at least I have not come across anything like this, but nice. And I guess you raised your first round from Ebix in 2017. So can you tell us more on that? And like, what are you raising for, and what were the objectives during that time?
Got it. So Ebix Cash has its own expertise in payment instruments as such. And I was new into the whole fintech space. So I went to Mumbai, spent a good amount of time there building a relationship with Ebix Cash as well as multiple banks as such. So the whole process, we understood the payment space really well, and we integrated prepaid cards into our platform. So the investment was a mixture of in cash and in kind, and through this whole prepaid card integration that they did with us. So one thing which was very clear from our side is we don't build something that's already there in the market. So the approach that many other companies have taken is they went ahead and built prepaid card completely from ground up and into their system, right? But we didn't do that. We went ahead and like Ebix Cash is an expert in this. Let's just go and integrate with them. And this technology is going to cost so much money. So instead of investing so much money, we might as well take help from Ebix Cash, and also get an introduction to all their existing customers, right? So it was a relationship that we had initially. We have with Ebix Cash, wherein they took us to the market as well as, they helped us with the integration as such.
Okay, interesting. And so this was still like the first, maybe your second year of business, right? Like since you started in 2016, right? So and at that time, like how big was the team at Finley?
That was so if you're looking at 2016, it was mostly dabbling with these different ideas and talking to investors and talking to customers. We spent roughly around a year and a half in this whole process. So this was somewhere around 2017, end of 2017, and we're just three people as a team. There was just three
Oh
of us.
wow. That's very small. But then after this, how did you go about like hiring your first few employees, right? Because I think that those three people are all co-founders and all of you guys. But then once you figure out like you have a business and you have a product and you want to scale up, right? So how did you go about like hiring your first set of employees? Because that's those people are something different, right? You have to like trust them, and you have to sell your company to them, because why should they come and join you at such an early stage, right? So maybe you can tell us like what are the things that worked for you when you hired the first few set of people.
Yeah, so it's two of us as co-founders. The third person, we
Okay.
had recruited him as such. One of the key factors that we saw in everyone we recruit is a streak of entrepreneurial spirit, right? That's something
Got
that
it.
we look at. It can be anything. It can be probably having a blog out there, or you've taken some kind of leadership role somewhere, right? So that is something that we've always looked out for. What's going to be happening is you need to keep giving those pep talks, motivational talks every week. And that's not the sort of energy we have to do during the initial phase of the company. People need to be, they need to be self-motivated, and they need to see the light at the end of the tunnel by themselves, right? And they need to believe in what we are doing and put themselves in action as such. So entrepreneurial spirit is something that we looked at. Probably they would have started a company in the past or something of those. Then we got a bunch of folks who have expertise in the finance domain. Someone with an accounting background and BCom, and more of a, because we were engineers, myself and my co-founder comes from, we come from an engineering background. So we got a lot of finance folks in the team to add insights into the product that's being built out, as well as for the communication that's happening with the finance people, right? And one of the key things we looked at while interviewing folks as well as is hobbies, their hobbies. What do they do during the weekends as such? And folks who are really passionate, they generally read and they absorb as much as possible during the weekends as well. And they add to the knowledge of the existing team as such.
Got it.
So these are certain qualities that we kept looking out for while recruiting the first bunch of people. And yeah, so that's what we
Interesting.
did.
And just really curious. So did you have any bad hires in the start? Like you hired someone and you figured out they're just not a good fit and you have to let them go, or maybe they left. So if you can share a
Of course,
few the experience in having bad hires and what were those?
We've had a couple of them, I could say. It's mostly they're not aligned with the vision, and you had to constantly talk to them on a weekly basis and be like, you got to do this, set the directions for them. Initially, it's about wearing multiple hats, and a lot of a bunch of folks are, you know, task driven. You give them this task and they keep checking it out, right? And 1.5 years, you have to take up various tasks, wear multiple hats, and do the best at it, right? And so a bunch of hires didn't go out well, but we also ensured is we took the right action within the first 3 4 months, and we opened up to them and said that, you know, probably we're not aligned here, and we've always parted ways in a good manner. So, and we also, what we also ensured is we saw the characteristics and the traits of these people and where they would exact fit, and found them a job in another company, probably a 100-employee company, a 150-employee company, while we were letting them go. So what happened is this thing towards Philly was always there. They always remembered us as a company, and whenever a lead came in or some kind of opportunity came in, they always called me back and called one of our team members back and like, hey, this is what's happening. But they're asking for Philly, connect and take forward. Yeah. So we've
Interesting.
built a very good relationship with anyone who's been with a part of our journey as well.
That's really great. And how big is the team now?
So right now we are around 36 people, and
Wow.
yeah, 36 people is what we are. Yeah.
Got it. And talking about 2020, right? Like a very different year for everyone. It was a black swan event. No one predicted. You might have had different strategies when you started in January and February 2020, right? But eventually had to pivot into like doing different things and, you know, maybe figuring out reducing churn and whatnot. So, what if you can share any few learnings that you got in 2020, and you know you're trying to inculcate those learnings in 2021 as well?
Got it. So in the year 2019, we pivoted from being an expense management system to an accounts payable system. Wherein we understood that expense management is only 15% of the expenses that's happening in the company, right? And accounts payable would be 100% of the non-payroll spend. So we pivoted from being an expense management to an accounts payable company. So in this whole process, what happened is in the year 2020, we had insights into expenses that in any company. So we gave dashboards to our customers wherein they could see how expenses are flowing through as such, and they could identify cost saving opportunities. Right. So it's something we did year 2020 because we had we were able to give them a complete visibility into how expenses are flowing through the company. So those are changes we did. But apart from that, respect to churn and these kind of things, a lot of small companies, SMBs, whom we had on board with us, right, before coming in as an expense management system, we had a lot of SMBs that we had onboarded. They churned out either because they shut down or various other such reasons, right? And it was really sad to see as such. We did open up options for companies with respect to discounts and reducing their spend on our system and things like that. We did whatever we could in that point of time. The growth has been, the growth was kind of, you know, flat for 7 to 8 months because we couldn't onboard any new company. And not all the, there's a lot of chaos in the finance department, right? The first thing they would want, they wanted to do is not buy anything new at the point in time. So what had happened is, in the year 2019, we streamlined payables around 5,000 crores, right? Mm-hmm. And in the year 2020, we were projecting around 14,000 crores to be processed through our system, but then it went down to 8,000 crores. We could see the drop in the payables that was happening. It's not just to us. It was there was a drop we could see across hundreds of these companies to all their vendors. And and we have over 4 lakh vendors on our system right now. So imagine 4 lakh vendors not being paid on time. These 4 lakh vendors in turn won't be paying their hundreds of vendors as such. So you could see the ripple effect starting of these 100 odd companies.
Yeah, so, I mean, so it was a, I think it was a snowball effect rather than a ripple effect, right? It was piling up. But interesting, right? And I think you raised another round in the middle of all this, right? From Social Cap and Gemba Capital.
Yeah, so this was in 2019, before the COVID, actually. So when we decided to pivot from being an expense management system to an accounts payable system, so that's when we raised a small round of $500,000 from Social Capital and Gemba Capital to get to where we are. So what? So we use this concept called Wadley Maps to understand what the finance team really needs. And when the CFO and the finance team, what when we broke it down to what they really need, right, we understood what they need is compliance, governance, productivity, accessibility, and visibility. This is these are the five core things that the CFOs and the finance teams need, right? Mm-hmm. So we went behind solving these five core problems when we sat with all of our customers, and that led to us building accounts payable, where an expense management became just a small portion of the entire mod product suite that we ended up building. So yeah, so we raised this round of funding in the year 2019, and 2019 is when we pivoted as such, and it's been 2 years since then. And out of those two years, it's been 8 months of COVID, such to actually say.
Got it. Interesting. So and yeah, and what are your objectives then, you know, as a company for 2021? Like what are you planning to do differently, or what new initiatives that you know you are taking for this year?
So one of the things is, when we started off, we wouldn't have been able to do what we're doing right now if it wasn't for GST in the first place, right? There's a lot of government push that's coming in, government initiatives that's being taken, and e-invoicing is an initiative that's coming this year. So we'll be going hard on e-invoicing, wherein we can automate the entire process of transcribing invoices for accounts and processing the payments. We can automate the entire
because of this APIs that's been released by the government. And then we are getting a lot of traction and interest from the Middle East market. So the plan is to scale up our business and operations out to the Middle East market. Remote work and the pandemic has further, you know, increased the need for a system like ours in the market. So further expanding our sales team in the Indian market to cater to those businesses is something that we're looking at.
Interesting. And so yeah, what kind of, you know, strategies that you're planning to, you mentioned you were expanding to the Middle East, right? So can you tell us like a few strategies, like why Middle East and why not like US or, you know, Southeast Asia or like different parts? And then what GTM playbook that you're going to be using, right? What if you have it, whatever you have in mind, right, that you want to go behind these companies in the Middle East?
So we've tied up with a couple of partners who do enterprise sales in the Middle East market. And for us, cold calls and emails works out really well, right? And our CAC and our LTV is really working out with an outbound-based process itself. So because our average revenue per account is also really large, outbound really works out well for us. So it's just about, you know, getting the right campaigns through these outbound mechanisms and doubling down on these channel partners we have in the Middle East and in India to go ahead, right? Like, so that's the DM that we have in place.
Cool. I mean, this was really interesting, Vikshit. And, you know, quickly before we, you know, round up this episode, we want to shift to lightning round. So I have like three questions for you. So you have to like answer with whatever is on top of your mind, right?
Okay,
cool. So first one, right? What's the one fundamental change you're making in your job in 2021?
One fundamental change. So we are having my particular job, right? You're saying it's going to be a hybrid model wherein it's going to be a hybrid model wherein I don't meet folks on a regular basis. So I take a break off for planning and strategizing. And then for actions, I'm going to be meeting all of them to tactically go against every action or problem that's there out there. So plan, strategize by myself, and then go ahead and discuss it with the team and then convert them into actions. So it's going to be a hybrid model, not completely remote or completely office-based. It's going to be a mix of both. That's what I'm going to look for.
Interesting. So yeah, second one. What's the one thing that has helped you shorten your learning curve in 2020?
So I have very few beliefs because I feel I'm constantly evolving and new perspectives are constantly being added on. So, and my belief system keeps changing when I'm meeting more and more people and I'm absorbing more and more information from books and podcasts. So I'm going to constantly read and listen to more and more podcasts and more people and mentors and advisors as such. So that's how I'm going to keep learning as such and reduce the belief systems I have as much as possible and keep an open mind.
Awesome. I think this is the one podcast that you listen to as well.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah. Like the last one, right? What do you know about your work now that you wish you would have known when you first started?
So since most of what I'm doing right now is for the first time, it's about increasing the chance of success to reach the goal or the result. So in order to do that, so it's about having multiple iterations within the short span of time that you have to achieve the result. So basically, I could say to sum it down, to increase possibilities and probabilities in any task that you take up to increase the chance of success.
Interesting. So yeah, thanks a lot, Viksheet, for joining in today and, sharing all these insights, sharing your journey with us. Very honored to host you on the show and, sure. Looking forward for you to listen to more of the episodes from this podcast.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.